Proper Sport. You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, very good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Really excited about this week's show because we are going to be looking ahead to the first two classics of the 2018 season. We'll be hearing two from Charlie Johnson, the son of trainer Mark Johnston. Plus, we'll be hearing from PJ McDonald, who's got a very exciting ride on Sunday in the 1000 Guineas. It's all coming up here on the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath.
Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
So, welcome to this Thursday show. Delighted to say that Jim has made the trip up from Newbury. Was it a delightful trip up from Newbury? Was you rushing at all?
No, the traffic wasn't very good. I'd struggled to sleep, actually, Bobby, because Roger did all the driving. But no, we got up in time, and what a weekend to look forward to.
Certainly is.
Do you know what a guinea is, Bob?
Explain it to me. It's slightly before my time.
21 shillings, if I said that.
21 shillings,
yeah. £1.05.
Still before my time, Jim.
Anyway, what you are, Bob, is a guinea a minute. Bum, bum.
Right then, yeah, slightly before my time. I only know pounds and pence nowadays. Jim, just before we hear from one of our guests tonight, of course, as you said, HQ is the venue this week. Of course, there's lots of racing happening, but HQ, the venue this weekend, it's the first two classics of the season.
Yeah, and the weather looks to be improving. That's important. As we sit here now, the going at Newmarket is good to soft. There quite a lot of rain yesterday. 7.1 on the going stick. We want it to get to about 7.5 for it to be in the perfect category, and I think there's no question that that's likely to happen. Strong Yorkshire interest, because several runners in the chief supporting race, the Palace House Stakes, or one of the chief supporting races, and of course you've already trailed the Northern runners in the Guineas, so plenty to look forward to.
Certainly is indeed. Right then, earlier on today I had the pleasure of speaking to Charlie Johnston, the trainer's son of Mark Johnston, and he was on the line to tell me all about Larkham. And first off, I asked him, has he been showing much at home?
I've been very happy with him. He did three pieces of work at home through March and April, and then came down here to Newmarket and had a racecourse gallop at the Craven meeting. And we had actually hoped to maybe have a second racecourse gallop at a northern track earlier in April at sort of Redcar or Ponty, but with all the wet weather we had in early April, all those meetings were abandoned. So we've had one racecourse gallop rather than two, but we're very happy with the condition the horse is in, and it's all systems go for the weekend.
And is there any instinct at all from what you've seen that a Larkham can be a really good horse?
We're obviously very hopeful that he's going to prove to be top class. There's still that sort of unknown quantity to him, really. He's only had two runs, and you know, there's a huge amount of potential there. And with his pedigree, we're always going to be hopeful that he would progress right to the top level. And yeah, his work this spring has definitely been at a very high level, and better than he showed really at any time last year. So that all bodes well that he has improved to three, and that he can handle the step up in grade.
And I think he's been quoted saying, your dad Mark, saying that Larkham is the image of his mum, if you like, of the dam attraction, who he trained to win the 1000 guineas back in 2004. He says that there's the image there, but at the same time, you know, both attraction and Larkham are going into the classics undefeated.
Yeah, he's just a male version of his mother, really. It's always uncanny at home when he comes into the ring after doing his work, and from a distance it takes you back 15 years, because it's as if she's walking towards you. He's got exactly the same head, exactly the same looks, and quite similar in their mannerisms as well. He's 90% of the time he's very laid back and chilled, but you've always got to be wary, because he's just got that little bit of fire that he might catch you off guard if you get too complacent. So, yeah, lots of similarities between the two of them, which I guess makes this all the more special, that sort of nostalgic aspect that we've got as a team, having had his mother and had such great success with her. So yeah, it'd be dreams come true if he could follow in her footsteps.
Well, I was just about to say to you there, you know, it'd be absolutely fantastic, you know, for everybody if a Larkham was to win the 2000 Guineas. And I think you just hit the nail on the head there. You know, it would be very special, because obviously to train the mum, if you like, the dam, to win the 1000, and then for her son to come along and train win the 2000 Guineas, it would just make that a little bit more special, wouldn't it?
Of course, yeah, you know, any winner at this level is unbelievably special, but to have that sort of added backstory, it just adds that little bit more, to it. You know, I remember as if it was yesterday, being in the sales ring at Tattersalls and Newmarket when Sheikh Hamdan bought a Larkham for, it was 1.6 million at the time, and in all honesty, we didn't really expect him to be sent to us. And we got the news from Angus Gold, his racing manager, about a month later that we were going to get to train him. And yeah, it's been a great journey for the last 18 months, sort of working up to this weekend, and hopefully we're going to have a great summer with him.
And your dad is duly represented on Saturday in the 2000 Guineas. The other horse is Card Sharp. How concerned are you with him about him getting the trip?
Yeah, that's the sort of question mark we've got. Just earlier this week, we made entries for him at Royal Ascot in both the St James's Palace and the Commonwealth Cup. So, you know, we're definitely in the back of our heads thinking there is a chance that this trip may stretch him and that we might need to come back to sprinting. But, you know, rather than finding that out at a lower level, we thought we'd rather have our shot at the big one. And if we find out he doesn't stay, then, like I say, we've got that route to fall back on for later in the season.
And you have got numerous entries throughout the weekend. If we just pick up on a few now, Charlie, if that's all right, just away from HQ, if we look a bit further down south, down at Goodwood, there's a listed filly Zim Mares race. You've got T.T. McPhee running in that particular race. Didn't get a season off to the best start last time out in the John Porter. Was that just a case of, I don't know, first run of the season, blow away the cobwebs and let's move forward?
Yeah, I think you know, we probably bit off a little more than we could chew as well. Obviously Defoe was very impressive, and he's going for the Jockey Club on Saturday, so it was a very tough race, and you know, right up to that sort of that standard. She's dropping down in grade slightly, I would say, on Saturday, and you know, she was a fantastic filly last year. We had great fun with her, won six times and improved from a mark of 70 up to a mark of 103. So, yeah, she's done remarkably well, but we're hopeful that, you know, we haven't seen the end of her yet. And if she can regain her form from last year, then, you know, she should be very competitive on Saturday.
And you've got two runners in the Class 2 handicap at Goodwood also, going off at 2:40. That's Massam Star and Love Dreams. We'll start first with Massam Star. You know, how would you rate his chance on Saturday at a bit of a price? Because I think, if I've got this right, his last win on the turf, was that Doncaster back in 2016?
Yeah, it's a while since he won on the turf. He did win a big pot of Chelmsford towards the back end of last year. But, you know, I think it's a bit unfair to sort of look at that negatively on the horse, because he ran at every big meeting last year. He went to Royal Ascot, to Newmarket, to Goodwoods, danced every dance and ran well in a lot of big, big handicaps. I actually thought he ran quite well at Haydock last week in conditions that probably didn't suit him. It was very soft ground there. 7 furlongs round Goodwood is perfect for him, and he's the sort of horse that if the wagon's leaving without him on a Saturday morning, he's kicking his door down. So he likes to be out every weekend and running plenty, and the ability's there. He's actually quite well handicapped, really. He's dropping down the weights, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he bounced right back to his best.
And Love Dreams as well, who was victorious last time out at Chelmsford, so coming to the race off the back of that win, you can say that the blinkers which he wore for the first time, it definitely had a positive effect on him.
Well, they definitely had a positive effect during the race. I think PJ McDonald might argue that they had a negative effect after the race. he couldn't pull him up. He did a whole another circuit of Chelmsford before he was able to pull him up. So he's obviously in good form with himself. He's a horse we've always thought quite a lot of, and he's got a lot of ability. As you can see from his sort of form, for one of ours in particular, he's quite lightly raced for his age. He's had quite a few little niggles along the way. But like I say, he's a talented horse on his day. And if the blinkers have the same effect again second time, then he too could run a good race.
And Charlie, just before I let you go, just ahead of the weekend, is there any other horse in particular we should be looking out for?
Obviously, it's a tough competitive weekend, Guineas weekend. We've got quite a few runners down here. Linwood Gold is going to make his seasonal reappearance in the Mile and a Quarter listed race that Permian won last year. Sort of step up in class for him, but that'll sort of tell us where we're going with him for the rest of the year. And Book of Dreams is also going to run here in a handicap. He's had a great start to the season, already won twice and gone up to a mark of 96 now, but wouldn't surprise me if he could bounce back from a slightly disappointing run at Ripon last time. So busy weekend ahead and lots to look forward to.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We was talking there to Charlie Johnson ahead of his dad's runners over the weekend. Jim, interested what he had to say about Alarcam.
He was very interesting and quite revealing, you know, about the horse's work at home. Said that, you know, that they've definitely seen enough to know that he's at another level compared to last year. Now, he had just two races last year in September. I was at Newmarket when he won the second of them. And what was impressive about that was not so much what he beat. It was just at the end of the race, he was really, really strong. No doubt a mile is going to improve him. He'll obviously improve one or two of the others as well. And he remains a very interesting horse. In terms of form, Bob, it's a very open race. I mean, that's not a fudge out, because I'm supposed to be reasonably handy at form at sorting through them. Gustav Klimt, the favourite, is a perfectly possible winner, but he's not entitled to be the price he is, in my opinion. But anyway, just to go back to Charlie, he keeps saying down here, and that's because he's down at the Breeze-Ups, isn't he? That he's talking to you from the Breeze-Ups. They haven't moved from Middleham. They're still Middleham based. But no, it was a good interview.
Yeah, man, that's what he wears. He's down at Newmarket. Actually, now is at Chelmsford, because they've got four runners tonight at Chelmsford. So Charlie Clinton down there at HQ. Right then, Jim, let's have a look to the 2000 Guineas. Of course, we've spoken about Alarcam. You mentioned there Gustav Klimt. Now, you went over to Aidan O'Brien's a few weeks ago. You saw quite a few of the horses there at Ballydoyle. What were your thoughts when you went over there in regards to the horse, especially Gustav Klimt as well?
Well, I went to Aidan's the week after Cheltenham. I went down to see a mare I've got over there, down at Coolmore, and we were lucky enough to go around. But I actually went back on Grand National Day for the trials where he won. Mm-hmm. And the first thing to say about him, because I wasn't at Newmarket when he pulled in a race out of the fire last year, having got into trouble, having been hampered, is that he's tiny. But that's a family trait. If you've not seen him before when you're going to Newmarket, the mother was small, and the grandam, and a lot of older racing listeners will remember this, Rafa, who Henry Cecil trained, he described her, Rafa, he said, "I'm amazed she can run. She's knee-high to a bumblebee." So, that, you know, that just emphasises that the family in general are small. So don't be put off him on the basis that, oh, he doesn't look anything, he's only little. That's a family trait. He wasn't right in his coat at Leopardstown. And yeah, I was impressed. It was a slowly run race. The runner-up, who was race fit and has got very heavy soft ground action, quickened away early in the straight, and he picked him up with just a tap behind the saddle. There's no doubt he's a good horse, but on what he's actually beaten, he's not miles in front of anything else in the field. That doesn't mean he can't win. I'm not sitting here and saying he can't win, but is he entitled to be 15-8? No. To me, it's more like a 4 or 5-1 the field race on form.
Well, you have said it's wide open. You feel it's wide open this year, the 2000 Guineas. There's 10 individual group winners in this year's renewal. So what are your actual thoughts about this year's race?
I haven't put money down on it. That is the aim of looking through a race for this show. Can I find a bet in it? And the honest answer is no, I can't. If you said, come on, you've got to throw a tenner away on
something.
Come
on, Jim.
All right, okay. A chance expert eye. There are two ifs.
Okay.
Will he stay? Mm-hmm. And will he behave at the start? Because he went crackers in the stalls before the Dewhurst. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, Bob, when he went into the stalls for the Dewhurst, he was a ready favourite and a short price favourite for the Guineas last October. But he blotted his copybook, he pulled like stink, he ran no sort of race. If Sir Michael Stout can get him back to relax and produce the form we showed at Goodwood, we saw at Goodwood last year when you were down there as well, he'll take a lot of beating, and B, it'll be a fantastic training performance. Now, he made his reappearance a couple of weeks ago at Newbury. What he did there wouldn't win a Guineas, but the vibes are he's come on a lot from that, and they've been working regularly with him, with a team, to overcome his aversion to the stalls, and he did behave well enough at Newbury. So in a hard race, I haven't had a bet yet, but if you said to me, you're not walking out of this studio, I'll open my wallet and give you a tenner, I'd stick it on him at 9 or 10 to 1.
Also got Saxon Warrior in the field as well, one of two colts going into the race undefeated. He won the Racing Post Trophy last year at Doncaster for Aidan O'Brien at the time to break that record. We was on giving 26 Group 1s at the time, but he ended up on 28. Is that correct?
Yeah, you've done your homework, Bob. He broke the record. He broke the record with that race, and then he went on to extend the record with further successes in America and Hong Kong. So yeah.
And Saxon Warrior, would you give him a chance at all?
Well, when we did go, Aidan pulled him out of the string and brought him towards us, and he just said, "Look at him. He's huge." He said he hasn't missed a day. And if it wasn't for the stats that are telling me I should be worried, I wouldn't be worried, he said. But this was 5 or 6 weeks ago. He said he's 50 kilos heavier than his last racing weight, and he said, in my experience, that's a worry. He said, well, what can I do? Gallop the you know what off him to try and get the weight off. He said it'll just have to come naturally. The other worry about him is I'm not convinced the track at Newmarket will suit him. He's got quite a heavy action. He arguably shouldn't have won the Racing Post Trophy last year anyway. The runner-up should have won. He threw the race away, and arguably Oisin Murphy went too soon on the horse that finished second of John Gosden's Roaring Lion. I don't think he's quick enough to win a Guineas myself. He might be more of a Derby horse.
Just two more horses I want to get your opinions on in this year's 2000 Guineas, because we was at Newmarket the other week, wasn't we, when Massar he won the Craven, very impressive as well, beat White Mocker by 9 lengths, so it was impressive that time in the Craven. The other one as well I want to mention, because I think it'd be a nice story also, James Garfield for George Scott. So what's your opinions on both those horses I've just mentioned?
Well, James Garfield's a thoroughly likeable horse. He's very consistent. Expert Eye made him look like it was like a Rolls Royce against Rickshaws at Goodwood last year. So he looked in a different league against him. But you can say that since then, Expert Eye has got questions to answer, whereas James Garfield has maintained his form. It's a good level of form, but it isn't usually good enough. What he's done isn't usually good enough to win a Guineas. And the other one you were interested
Massar.
In? Massar. Oh, yeah. Well, we were down there, and he looked $1 million. He'd flown in from Dubai 3 days earlier, so a bit like you when you've been on your holidays. He had a lovely tan. And he was clearly in fine fettle, despite the fact that he'd run appallingly on dirt over in Dubai. You know, he'd been a big, big flop. He got the run of a slowly run race, but he did win really well. He was impressive. What concerns me is I worked at Timeform for a long time, and they have what we call a collateral way of analysing horses, i.e. horse A against horse B against horse C in a race. And on that, you can say Massar ran to about 117, 118. If you actually work it as a time performance against standards that have been there for 40, 50 years, the performance was more like 92 or 93. So there was a strong element that it was a fluky race. But that said, he goes into the race in good heart, and he's a strong galloping, so it wouldn't surprise me if he made the frame.
Yeah, certainly did indeed. Right then, that's our preview of the 2000 Guineas. We're going to be previewing very shortly the 1000 Guineas, but before we do, earlier on today also, because again, he's at Chelmsford, he's riding at Chelmsford this evening. I caught up with PJ McDonald, who was talking to me earlier about his ride on Lawrence, but first of all, he told me about where his racing career started. So, am I right in saying then that you originally started off at Charles O'Brien's in Ireland, and then you came over to Midland and joined Ferdy Murphy as a jump jockey? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Gave it a go in Ireland for a few years, and I rode three winners over there, and I had about over 100 rides, but things never really took off for me over there. Very, very competitive over there, and I just couldn't seem to get a break, and I was actually thinking about giving up racing all together and getting a trade. But a friend of mine, Mickey Cleary, got me a job in 30s and said, go old thing and give jumping a try. And if it doesn't work out in a year or two, you can still try something else. And that was it, really.
So when you went over to Ferdy's, you were riding horses for him, and you won one of the biggest jump races, if not the biggest jump race in Scotland, with the Scottish Grand National on board at Hotwell back in 2007. Is that right?
Yeah, that was an amazing day. Albeit when I was quite young, but when I rode that winner, you kind of don't appreciate it because you think, God, they're going to come along every Saturday or whenever, but it's only when you start to get further into your career you realise how hard them good horses are to come by and them good races are to pick up. So definitely when we nick one now, we appreciate it a lot more.
And that year as well, in particular, PJ, 2007, in April, you're winning the Scottish Grand National on board Hotwell. And then in September 2007, you're winning the Portland Handicap with a horse called Full On By. So what was the motivation to go flat racing after winning the Scottish Grand National?
Well, obviously I'm quite small and I'm quite light. I was very lucky for a jump jockey, but I loved the jumping at the time, and my heart was set on the jumping. But Richard Hale was my agent at the time, and he suggested that maybe I go ride on the flat for the summer, just to keep myself fit, tidy up my riding a little bit, just get a little bit more stylish, and that was it really, and that was the plan. The plan was just to go and ride on the flat for the summer when Ferdy turned his horses out and to come back in the winter and kick on as normal. So that was it really, but I managed to have a real good summer that summer. I got into the Allen Swim Bank Yard, and I think I rode more winners in them few months of the summer than I did in the season jumping. So Mr. Swimbank offered me the job and spoke to Ferdy about it. He told me I'd be mad not to take it, and went from there.
So from that summer then, working for Allen Swim Bank, I think it's fair to say that every season, PJ, your seasons have gone from strength to strength. And if we look at last year in particular, throughout the whole of the 12 months, you notched up 128 winners.
Yeah, last year was an amazing year. It's the year before, I changed agents and I went to Garrett Owen for the last two seasons. I've been with Garrett now, this is my third season, and since I've made the switch, things have really picked up, you know, the calibre of horse, the yards that I'm riding for, and things have, he's took my career, he's helped me take my career to the next level, you know. Like, I was with Richard Hale for 10, 11 years, and he done a great job. He got me established as a jockey in that, but more so like a northern jockey. But in the last couple of years, I've seemed to spread my wings a bit and get to the bigger meetings down south and ride for some of the top yards in the south. And I think it's really made a difference, you know?
Yeah, that must be great for you, that, because you're riding for, you know, some of the top trainers in the north of England, and now, you know, people in the south want to use you as well.
Yeah, you look at that, that's a massive confidence booster to me, you know. And like you said, I'm on the team sheet for two of the most important yards in the north, in Carol Burks and Mark Johnson, you know. So it's only when trainers like that want to use you, it's only going to give you confidence, and then you're sitting on the better horses and you're riding on the Saturdays, which when you get to this stage of my career, like, that's where you want to be, you know what I mean? You want to be at the big meetings, you want to be competing at the big days, and not just picking, but you want to be going and competing, getting competitive with some of the best trainers, best horses and best jockeys in the country, you know?
And you're definitely going to be at a big meeting this weekend. Of course, it is the Guineas weekend at Newmarket, and you've got a cracking mount in the 1,000 Guineas. I suppose that the first question I've got for you is, are you looking forward to having your first run in the 1,000 Guineas?
Yeah, Yeah, look, I'm so excited. I've enjoyed every minute of it, though. Even the build-up over the last 6 weeks of going into Worker and, you know what I mean, like watching her progress and, like, for every piece of work she's done, we will get more and more confident, you know, and, like, I really enjoyed the ride up to the Sunday, and obviously I can't wait to get on her. Can't wait to get on her.
And you say as well, you're being up to the yard. So even though she's not had a run, she is going straight for the Guineas. Are you happy with the preparation she's had in the yard from what you've seen?
Oh yes. Look, I do. I'm in the cows once, twice a week. Most weeks I've seen her progress. I'm 100% confident behind Carlet. This filly can't be in any better shape going into a Guineas, you know what I mean, without a prep run. She's in great nick. She looks $1 million. She has done and all winter, and she's answered every question we've asked of her and more since the turn of the year, you know what I mean? So on that front, I've absolutely no worries at all. And she's already a Group 1 winner, you know what I mean? So we know she's got the class. So we just need a bit of luck on the day. Look, I'm under no illusions how tough it's going to be. There's going to be 10, 12 other fillies there with just as much ability as mine. It's just whatever handles the occasion, and we get a bit of luck on the day, and fingers crossed we can get her head in front, you know?
In your opinion as well, PJ, how good of a filly do you think she is?
Well, I can only compare with what I've ridden, you know. She's the best horse I've ever ridden in my career, and likely will be the best horse I've ever ridden in my career. You know, I'm 35 now. I've been doing this a long time, and horses like this don't come along too often, you know. So if that's good enough to win the Guineas or not, I couldn't tell you. I've never ridden in one. I've never ridden a Guineas winner at any stage at home or anything. So on that side of it, it's a bit of an unknown to me. But I personally think and feel whatever beats my filly on Sunday will win the Guineas.
And if we looked just the day before on the Saturday in the Group 3 Palace House Stakes, you're riding the favourite Havana Grey, also for Colbeck as well. Not been seen since finishing second in the Flying Childers. That came at Doncaster last September. Why have we not seen him since? Has it not really been a sort of race for him? Has everything been okay with him?
Oh, he's 100%, yeah. Like, obviously, he had a tough race in the morning in France, and we felt, even though Mr. Cox's filly Heartache is a very, very good filly, and the word about her is pretty serious for this year, we just felt that France just took the edge off our lad going into Doncaster. So he's had a nice break. Really, the programme for him, there was nowhere else he could start. This is the first opportunity he could start off this year. We were obviously we'd love to keep him in his own company in 3-year-olds, mm-hmm. but the programme is just not there. Statistics say it's probably not a great time of year to take on older horses, but like, we're happy with him at home, and hence the reason why he's going and why he's going to have his crack and take them on, you know.
And he's got the form on a variety of ground, PJ. Again, in your opinion, what ground do you think he is best on?
Well, look, he's won two listed races on Good to Firm. He's won a Group 3 on bottomless ground, and he's been second in a Group 1 on good ground. So he's very versatile regards ground. I would be quite happy on anything that's not extreme. You know what I mean? Like, as long as it's not rock hard or it's not bottomless. But sounds silly me saying that, because it was bottomless when he won at when he won at Goodwood, you know? So, like, very, very versatile horse. I think he's class. That's why he handles all sorts of ground. He's got a bit of class that gets him through it. You know, he lacks a little bit of size, but what he lacks in size, he makes up for in heart and will to win. And I'd much prefer to have a horse that wants to win on my side more so than a big, massive one that doesn't. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to the year we've got. Obviously, we've got a tough task taking on the older horses so early in the year, but if he can produce his best 2-year-old form, he's the one they've got to beat.
Yeah, I were just going to ask you about that, because he had a very successful 2-year-old career. And have you got every confidence he can have just as much successful 3-year-old career as what he did with his 2-year-old career?
Yeah, look, I can only speak on what we see at home every day. He's definitely trained on for us. He's strengthened up a lot. His homework has been great. I'd love to have a crystal ball and be able to tell you what's going to happen in 6 months down the line, but unfortunately I don't. But he's answered all the questions, so fingers crossed he can continue to progress and we can have a couple of big days out of him this year, you know.
And just very quickly as well, PJ, just before I let you go, you have got numerous mounts over the weekend at HQ. Anything else in particular we should be looking out for?
Yeah, well, obviously I'm not sure what definitely goes on Sunday yet, and I've had a quick look for Saturday. You know, I ride a horse in Mark Johnson's Book of Dreams. I've won twice on him this year. He flopped the rip in the last day for reason unknown to us. He came out of the race great. So he's a horse that runs in the last day on Saturday that I'd have to have a chance, and a horse that was progressing well up to his last run. So hopefully we can get him back on track, and he should give me a good run, you know. But I've got some nice rides down there over the weekend. A couple of mostly for Mark. So fingers crossed. When you're riding for Mark, you never know. You're always got a chance of landing something. So looking forward to the weekend, and hopefully we can get one.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Welcome back to the Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Great speak to PJ McDonald earlier on this afternoon. I think the interesting thing, Jim, with that, and in regards to PJ's career, that in 2007 he wins the Scottish Grand National on board Hot Weld as a £5 conditional jockey, and then in September of 2007 he goes and wins the Portland Handicap at Doncaster on board Fulham By. Now, the Portland Handicap, yes, we know it's a sprint, but you know, 27, 28, 29 horses go to post. It's not the easiest handicap to win.
No, and it's a totally different rhythm riding, obviously, over jumps and to a 5-furlong sprint, where you've got to make split-second decisions and it all happens so much faster. But it just underlines, I mean, there's a lot of admirable people in racing, and you've got to put PJ McDonald into that bracket, because very few people on the practical side particularly get anything easily. If you don't work very hard, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't put in the hours and the hard yards, you don't get anywhere. I think I'm right in saying when he started Switch to the Flat, he wasn't an overnight success either. I think one of his seasons was 3 wins. You fast forward nearly 10 years, 128 wins. That's testament to his ability, the fact that other people have recognised him, and a very hard working agent. And he's got a big chance on Sunday as well.
Yeah, he said last season in particular was fantastic to get 128 wins on the turf, and also on the all weather as well, including the winter. Very interesting what he had to say about Lawrence. She's got a great chance.
Yeah, I think she has. It's a bit of a cliche, but if she'd been trained by one of the bigger names, not that Carl Burke isn't a big name, but one of the regular headline makers, I think she'd be a shorter price. She's an enormous filly. We were talking about one being small in the guineas. This would look like if Gustav Klimt was next to her, it would look like she'd laid an egg. You know, she's a strapping big filly, and she can surely only be a better 3-year-old.
And Havana Grey heads the market in the Palace House Stakes on Saturday. Last seen finishing second behind Heartache in the Flying Chill. It's interesting what PJ said there. He just felt that, you know, the horse had had a pretty hard season. Took it out of him over in France, and then obviously finished second in the Flying Childers, but goes to Newmarket on Saturday, heads the market for the Palace House.
Yeah, and in theory has a very good chance. Although, you know, two or three of the rivals there have had a run, which might just put an edge on them against him, you know, in a real sharp dash over five. But he's got a good draw, there doesn't look to be an absolute tear-up in terms of pace. There's only two or three that might go from the front rather than six or seven. Mm-hmm. And that's the style that particular horse likes to adopt. So, yeah, I can see him running well, but it wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't quite sharp enough first time.
And in the 1,000 guineas, what horses in particular, Jim, have caught your eye this year? We know about Lawrence, but where's the competition?
Well, I've been lucky enough to see most of the trials. I mean, Soliloquy was impressive last week. She got the... Sorry, the week before. Mm-hmm. She got the run of things at Newmarket to an extent, but she did the job really well. And it's interesting that in the Racing Post this morning, if you read the latest news, William Buick is saying he's having trouble deciding between her and a horse who's already won at a higher level. So that indicates the esteem in which she's held, and she beat a representative field. So I think she'll run well. I Can Fly looked as though the run would bring her on in Ireland. Her coat wasn't right, like quite a lot of Aidan O'Brien's this year. You'd think the run and a bit of sun would benefit them. But again, the classics to me on form of like the 2000, this is very closely matched. So if you said to me, you've got to have a bet.
Well, have a bet.
You've got to have a bet. Well, it would be Lauren's each way. I think win or lose, she's going to give you a good run for your money. She won first time out last year. She's uncomplicated. She gets the trip. Is she a good thing on form? I've already said it's an open race, so no. But at 8 or 9 to 1, she's not a bad bet.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic for the North as well if Lawrence was to win the 1,000 guineas on Sunday. Now, Jim, just before I ask you for your tips for the weekend, can I just have a quick word, please, on Mendelssohn, who will take part in this weekend's Kentucky Derby. Of course, Ryan Moore not going to be at Newmarket on Saturday, but of course will be over in Kentucky riding Mendelssohn in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I was at Ascot yesterday. I saw Paul Smith, Derek Smith's son. Derek is actually representing the lads at the Kentucky Derby. Paul's going to Newmarket. I think Michael Tabor is more likely to go to Newmarket now as well. Mm-hmm. He just said that the horse had travelled over very well and they're hopeful. But we talked through the pros and cons of Dubai last time, and he was strikingly impressive. But without being funny, to me, he was the form horse in that race. We talked about that on our second edition of this show. Mm-hmm. And he was the wrong price, and duly proved that. But you take out the horse that was favourite in the build-up to that race of Godolphins, and it was a really, really weak race, Bobby. Sure, he smashed them up like they were non-entities, mm-hmm. but I don't think any of the horses he beat would have a prayer in the Kentucky Derby. That's not to say Mendelssohn can't win. He's got stall 14. Depends which statistician you look at. Some people tell you that's not a bad draw. Some say it's a coffin box draw. Mm-hmm. When we were over at Aidan's, and this was before he'd won in Dubai, he just said, I know this is my best chance so far in my career in Kentucky. And I said, why is that? He said, well, firstly, the horse has had a proper prep. Dubai should, you know, if he doesn't win in Dubai, he won't be going to So he's been built up from Dork to Dubai, he said. But more importantly, he said, I've sent okay horses over there. He said, but they didn't have the right physique. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't need a small horse in a Kentucky Derby. He said, American racing is very competitive. They get knocked around. You've got to have one that'll land it. This is a big, strong boy. So from that respect, he has another string to his bow. But I just think that the market over here, the English market, is sort of implying that, you know, he's not that he's just got to turn up, but that his chance is stronger than it actually is on form. I think he's got a bit to prove. But I hope I'm wrong.
I think he's being supported as well today in the British markets as well. Right then, Jim, it's that time of the show when I ask you for your tips. So what are your tips for this weekend?
Well, last week I was fairly sure what the ground was going to be. Mm-hmm. So we picked out 4 or 5 horses. Needless to say, the one that I said was Banco ran like it had leg missing, but two of the others won. So this week, it's not that I haven't done any work. At the minute, and let's not forget we're Thursday afternoon, I've got one for you that I'm pretty sure has got everything right for it. Mm. Humbert, Joe Gordon, Hugo Palmer, good draw in the Hunt Cup at Wetherby in the 305. Mm-hmm. That's number 5 Humbert, has run 2 crackers in. It's not the horse that listeners won't know about. He's run 2 crackers already this season, mm-hmm. but is a horse that likes to race handily, has got everything right for it to do that again. Main rival trained by William Haggas looks like it's drawn in the car park to me in 15. So if Humbert jumps out, he's got everything in his locker to go very close once again, and I hope this time it's in first place.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, as always, thank you very much for joining me here on the show. Right, and that's the end of the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGraw. As always, thanks to have Jim back here in the studio, making the special trip as well, all the way from Berkshire up here to West Yorkshire. Thanks for that, Jim. And thank you to Roger for driving you here as well. Of course, thank you to the guests. Thank you to Charlie Johnson and PJ McDonald, who very kindly gave up the time earlier on to speak to me. me. Do enjoy the weekend's racing. There's so much good racing to look forward to. Of course, all eyes will be on HQ for the 2000 and 1000 guineas. Myself and Jim will be there over the weekend. If you are there, do come and say hello to us if you are around. But for now, let's say goodbye to you all, and we look forward to welcoming you back for next week's show as we look ahead to the Chester Cup. It's goodbye for now.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.